In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, some things you just don't see every day. A dwarf blue sheep, for example. There are only 200 known in existence today. An original signature of William Shakespeare. There are only 7 known to be in existence today. An original double eagle $20 gold coin. There is only one left, but it's privately owned. So nobody's seen it for a while, but at this moment it's worth more than $7 million. All of those things are extremely rare. Every one of them is uncommon. This morning, as you and I begin a journey for 3 weeks into a Lenten-themed series about gratitude in response to all that Jesus has done for us, the mercy that he's shown us, we're going to examine some other uncommon things, things we don't see every day. So our first journey today will be all about uncommon mercy and uncommon gratitude. So I invite you to turn with me in the worship folder to the page where you find the continuing lesson. I'm going to finish off with just a few verses from the gospel lesson and then lead you a little further into the gospel of St. John, so you hear the rest of the story. The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." The gospel. This woman lived her life on the outer edge of everything. She knew she was an outcast on the basis of the way she had lived her life, her lack of appropriate morality in culture and context, and even because of her ethnicity, and she accepted that. She even took steps herself to morph her day-to-day life into a pattern that would be one that wouldn't disturb others, wouldn't attract their attention, wouldn't confront them with the realities of who she was and how they looked at her. She did that all by choice. It just made everyone else more comfortable. In essence, she did her best to make herself invisible to the world around her. She was supposed to be. That's how everybody else wanted it to be. And so she obliged them. So many of us are so privileged in so many ways. It's very, very hard for us to understand what it's like to be living on the edge of acceptable, the edge of embraceable, the edge of value. As a culture around us sees it and measures it and doles it out. But I can guarantee you From conversations I have personally had with people in the general population of our community, that there are people who drive down Grass Lake Road or down Highway 59 past this church campus on a daily basis that feel to the very bottom of their hearts that this is not a place for them. They pretty much feel about themselves the way this woman saw herself. They feel unworthy, unwanted, and uncomfortable with the idea of setting foot in a place that is really for the good people of society, those who trust God, who are God's chosen, who know God better than them in a way that they may be comfortable, but I know we don't want them to feel that way. That we would never deliberately do anything to make them feel that way, but every once in a while, it proves itself. When someone very much unlike us, in some measurable way, quickly deciphered, walks through those doors, the doors of the commons, maybe during a fellowship time between services, it's very interesting for me to watch and to see who or even whether anyone will say hello and make them welcome, engage them in some kind of conversation. No one wanted to talk to the Samaritan woman. Everyone preferred to let her do her thing without their taking much notice of her, because of how she had lived her life. She was different. She would still be different today in our cultural context. She was less than them. That's how they had measured it. That's how they wanted to be. That's how they wanted to see her. But look here, Jesus made every effort to show her she was equally valued by God as any other human being. He stopped. He took time. He listened. He shared. He cared. He loved her. He valued and embraced her personhood in a way that this woman had either never experienced or certainly had not experienced for a very long time, and it changed everything. How does Jesus' uncommon mercy here compare to the mercy you and I show on a daily basis? We may feel sorry for those who live on the edge, but what steps do we take to alleviate their suffering? Maybe we'll pledge a few dollars to a cause, to clinics or shelters or other social concern groups. But few of us will leave our comfort zones and our social engagements with those with whom we prefer to travel. Few of us will get in the middle of things, will look someone of this type of need in the eye and show that we care for them, that we won't judge them, that we will help them, that we're willing to address their alienation and their suffering and all the other challenges of their lives. That kind of mercy is uncommon, isn't it? Maybe we will even give a few dollars or some food to a person that we know is down and out. Maybe we will say a passing hello and make a shallow acquaintance with them to make ourselves feel a little better, but how many of us will actually take that next step of allowing someone that marginal, so much on the edge, to be a part of our lives, to sit at our dining room table, to engage them in a way that spends significant amount of time and energy offering them hope and help that they truly need? We know, if we're honest, just how uncommon that kind of an expression of mercy really is. How rare it will be for those who experience life on the edge to have people reaching out to them like that. And yet when you and I look at these verses, it's clear. The pattern is set. This is the kind of uncommon mercy that Jesus showed. But then Jesus always remembered why he was here in the first place, what he had come to do. He was here to suffer judgment, to take his share of the pain and the challenges and brokenness that put people on the edge on himself, to experience abandonment, loneliness, not just from his Father in heaven on the day that he died, but on many occasions of his life, and certainly in those last hours when his disciples abandoned him, he suffered the punishment, the pain, the hell that every one of us deserves for our sins. Not a one of us any better than anyone else. But this never kept him from showing profound, uncommon kindness and mercy and compassion to everyone. Jesus kept on loving, kept on helping, kept on healing and giving and doing. The question is, if it was so common for Jesus, how common is it among us in our daily lives? I remember a few years ago at a different congregation that I served, the idea was brought up and accepted by the group to do one of those giving trees during the holidays where you're gathering food and clothing and gifts for people in the community that have a need. And then you find those families and you distribute it at some point. And after a few years, we had to stop doing it. We had to stop doing it because it became such a source of frustration for a number of the members of the congregation. The people to whom we were giving the gifts weren't always all that grateful. Some of them would actually complain about the gifts that they were given and tell those who were bringing the gifts to them what they would have preferred to have gotten instead. Our members felt that they were being used and taken advantage of. It's hard to do things for people who are ungrateful when you reach out to them, especially if they complain about the things that you're doing for them. But how is that any different than any of us in regard to the God who has saved us and gives us so many wonderful blessings on a daily basis without our deserving a single one of them? You start thinking about all the many blessings, the material gifts, the spiritual gifts. Jesus has showed us the greatest act of uncommon charity, of mercy and compassion by sacrificing everything to win us forgiveness in heaven. And yet, after suffering those whippings and the mocking and the crowning of thorns, the hellish punishment that we rightly deserve for the things we've done, he absorbed it all, took it all for us, paid the price for our sins, faced the punishment of his heavenly Father for all of our selfishness, all of our ingratitude, which is just flat out all too common among us in our daily lives. And how do we respond? Well, how often can your day be labeled by a stupid sin? Literally, simply put it plainly. The things that you do, that you say to yourself, now that was stupid. Why did I do that again? Why do I always do this? Why I always know what the outcome's going to be, and it's never going to be pleasant, and it's never going to help anybody else, and yet I just keep doing it over and over. We seldom find ourselves in a position of truly thanking God for everything that he's done. Oh, sure, there are times when we think it and we may even say it or may sing it, but what about the actions that follow that demonstrate the true understanding of the appreciation of everything that God has done for us? In spite of all that God continues to do for us day by day by day, we have to admit that the uncommon acts of charity, of compassion, of mercy, they're still too rare amongst us. You know what the very most rare baseball card is? I did a little research on it, and I'm going to make sure I reference it because I suspect there may be somebody in the room who knows, and I don't want to get it wrong. It's a 1909 Hannes Wagner T206 tobacco card. There are only a handful known to exist. The last time one was on the market, it was 2007. And you know what it sold for? $2.8 million. A baseball card. Uncommon things are often considered to be extremely valuable. How valuable is the uncommon mercy of our Savior? Certainly worth more than a rare baseball card or a blue sheep or a gold coin. His uncommon mercy won heaven for us. And it shows us that everything we have and everything we are is truly from a compassionate, loving, gracious, providing God who deserves our uncommon gratitude because we don't deserve any of it. Look at the example of the woman in these verses. Look at her reaction to everything that Jesus did for her. In her reaction to the gospel that spoke her righteous, Jesus' uncommon mercy. Would you say her gratitude demonstrates itself in an uncommon way? After Jesus showed her this uncommon mercy and she really understood the motivation behind it, she couldn't stop herself. It completely changed her. Do you see that, how it worked? Someone who made herself invisible to everyone around her suddenly was completely unaware of herself in a way that she desired to reach every other person that would possibly be willing to listen to her. She now has a confidence about her. She now understands the uncommon mercy and grace of God in a way that she also understands she now is privileged to share it with others. To show her gratitude in a very uncommon way by reaching out to everyone willing to listen, to say to them, I've met the Messiah, I know the Christ, he's told me everything about my life, and he's somebody you also have to meet. This is the one, and see the result. After days, you have those that she has drawn to Jesus by her witness, by her uncommon gratitude, who now say very simply, okay, we came to hear him because you told us to come. You caught our attention and we came to listen. Now we know for ourselves. We've spent time with Jesus. We've heard his message. We understand that his uncommon mercy is for all of us. And we believe because of what he has said. Does this ever happen to us? For example, we contemplate the difficulties, the challenges, the losses of life, the day-by-day things that make our lives miserable, and we even may understand the role that we've played in creating these things in our lives for ourselves, but there comes that moment when we realize that we really haven't faced everything we deserve. That God has been good, and that God has been gracious, and that God has been generous with us. And it hits us in a moment like that, the profound reality of all that we need to be and do to show God our gratitude. And then it immediately causes us to realize how we doubt the people that are closest to us understand how grateful we are for the role they play in our lives. And we commit ourselves in that moment. When I get home, I'm going to tell my kids, I'm going to tell my wife, I'm going to tell my husband, maybe even tell the neighbor that I'm always bothering about things, how much I appreciate them, the gratitude I have. But by the time you get home, having fought traffic, having finished off the day, having had all kinds of other distractions come your way, it really never happens. Nothing significantly changes just after a few hours of a thought so profound. Sometimes we come to church We hear a scripture passage. We listen to a message. We attend a Bible study where Christ's uncommon mercy moves us to new understanding, to new commitment. We feel an overwhelming sense of gratitude toward God because of his uncommon mercy. We say a quiet prayer of thanks to him, and we put a little more in the offering plate that Sunday to thank him, and we think to ourselves, every moment from this day forward is going to be different. I'm committed. I understand it. It's got to be different. I've got to show God how much I appreciate everything that he's done. But on the way home, the phone rings. And when we get home, there's hurry-up time before the game we want to watch, or the lawn needs mowing, or there's work to be done, and before you know it, it's completely forgot about. Those feelings and thoughts drift quickly away, and nothing really changes. Contemplate the uncommon gratitude of this no longer outcast woman. And she was a Samaritan. She did not grow up attending a synagogue or going to the temple for festival days where she would hear the word of God's proclamation, where she would see all of the acts of Old Testament significance that pointed ahead to a Messiah. And yet, she knew of him. And boy, was she thankful when she understood that she had come face to face with him. And she wanted everyone to see and everyone to know and everyone to hear what God had done for her and for them. My friends, don't settle for the easy thank you. Don't settle for flippantly saying, oh, yeah, we're blessed. We have so many things to be thankful for. And then go about your day as if nothing new or different has happened. That's easy. What's not easy is showing uncommon gratitude. Let it show in how you worship. Let it show in how you pray. Let it show in how you listen to God's word and tuck it deep in your heart and share it with others. Let it show at home, at school, in the workplace, everywhere your life takes you. Let it show as you yourself perform acts of uncommon mercy, uncommon kindness, uncommon grace in reflection of what God has done for you as a demonstration of the uncommon gratitude that he alone can generate. But to show this uncommon gratitude, it's important that we revisit the uncommon mercy of our Savior that he has shown us daily. Every moment of his life, he showed love. He helped. He healed. He made others whole again. And he did that because we so often would fail to help, to reach out, to offer healing and hope to others. So in your life, in my life, he continues to show us blessings and acceptance, forgiveness and promises that we don't deserve now and we will never deserve, forgiving us, healing us, helping us in every trouble because of that commitment. Because of that profound commitment that proves itself so uncommon every day. Respond. Reflect. In your Savior's, in response to your Savior's uncommon grace to you. Gratitude. That against the backdrop of the world we live in every day will prove itself as equally uncommon. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.